Welcome to the session 3 for workshop, the online worship experience, targets for effective streaming. Please welcome our presenters, Luke Cutler and Joshua Burns.
What's up, you guys? Welcome. First of all, thank you guys for being here. It's cool to see the passion in that room, like in this room right now and in the big session. Like, I want to encourage you guys with the fact that you are called. Nothing's going to take away that call. And I want to encourage you to cultivate that passion. Never let that grow cold. How many of you guys know we can have crazy challenges in ministry? It's just every single day we can have something new that comes up. But it's that passion with Jesus that is, it can sustain us through the long haul. It can sustain us through the hardest times in ministry. So we're here to talk about church online today, the online worship experience. How many of you guys are technical in the space? Would you say that you're like technically inclined? Just a little bit? All right. How about like a little bit technical? A little bit technical? Okay. How about like not, you consider yourself more pastoral, less like technical. It's okay. You can. But yeah, awesome. Really, really cool. We're actually, it's funny. We're going to do a mixture of the two. But honestly, this is going to lean a little bit more pastoral because the truth of the matter is we can look at church online and we can think of it as a technical challenge to conquer. And instead, we want to put to you guys today that online ministry is pastoral ministry. I'm thinking of the idea of what would Christ do if he was living in these unprecedented times that we have right now. I don't think Christ would be worried about the metrics as much. I don't think he would be discouraged when there were a few viewers online. He'd be going after the one. He'd be looking for the one in our online chats and our online spaces. And so that is why we do online ministry. I mean, that's why we do any ministry. It's for the one. But online is no exception to that. So a little bit about us. I'm Luke Cutler. I'm the creative director at Word of Life Assembly of God. We are a church out in the Syracuse area. So we had about a 4-hour drive to get here. We got about a 4-hour drive to get back.
I'm Josh Burns. I'm the production lead at Word of Life. I'm responsible for cameras, sound, the online experience, all of that stuff, so I'm very much behind the scenes. I think the best way I've ever heard Luke and I described was by our children's pastor, who said, if you're looking for Luke, he's the person on stage. If you're looking for Josh, he's the person running as far away from the stage as possible. I would say my biggest job on like a Sunday morning is managing all of the teams and making sure that all of our volunteers are equipped and blessed to do their jobs well. Like, that's pretty much my whole job.
Yeah.
All right, so why stream at all is the first question I think we should probably look at, right? Like, why do we even stream? So basically, the doors have been blown wide open, right? Now we can be streaming across town, we can reach someone across the other side of the world with just the press of a button. And we have that power. Why should we do it at all? So, two core reasons. We gotta include the whole family. That's important, right? We know that there are people who can't make it to church, right? They're bedridden, they're out of town, they work on the road, all these reasons. Good reasons to have our service available online. Second reason, we gotta keep the door open. What we found is, online is now the front door of the church. No longer do people just sort of wander up and come into the building. It happens, but it's so rare. I'm going to say probably 90% of people we talk to, they're saying, well, I've been watching online for a month or two. I decided it was time to check it out. And we should make our decisions about our online experience based on that information. So, the aim, care for people online. That's the whole thing. That's it. If someone's in our chat room, care about them. If we show people that we care, that's all we have to do. Online church is not an end to itself. Online church is about expanding our family. That's how we do it. We're a family. We want more people in our family. How do we do it? Online church. That's the best way we're going to get them in the building. That's the best way we're going to reach them in their homes. Yeah, okay. So, how do we do it well? That's where we're going next. How do we do it well? So, what we need to do is we got to make online ministry more than just watching a video. It's so easy for people to plop back on the couch, put that service on full screen, and just watch, right? There's a problem there. They're not connecting with anyone who's in the church. And that's not what in-person church feels like, right? We don't walk into church, sit down, have church happen at us, and then leave. There's a community there. So, biggest part about how to do it well, chat hosts, your chat host ministry. This is kind of a little bit of a bait and switch because we were like, it's kind of about metrics, but actually, I think the most important thing is your chat host team. So, online ministry is pastoral ministry. What do chat hosts do? Here are the key things for chat hosts to do. Luke, can you go back?
Yeah.
Back?
I think it's this one.
Forward? Oh, okay. Here are things chat hosts should be doing regularly. Welcome people in before the stream starts. When you're setting up your stream, have that chat open 15 minutes before any video content. If a person is at home and they open it up early, right? They're sitting there, there's no service happening to them. This is your moment to connect with those people. So have chat hosts in your chat welcoming people before the stream starts. Have those chat hosts pray with people in the chat. Ask questions to people in the chat, even when service is going or before it starts, and invite those people to next steps. Important next steps like, let's talk about baptism. Let's talk about getting you into the building. Like, what does that look like? Can we have someone come out to you to do communion with you? These are things that, like, we can actively engage with people. And then those people mostly just need to connect with people as a group. Hey, how's everyone doing here today? Where are you guys all at, right? And on a one-on-one basis. That's a really important one. If your chat host can call out someone as, hey, I saw you were in the chat last week. I'm so glad you're back with us again. They're going to form a bond. And if that person does end up in the building, your chat host is going to be their first connection in person. They're going to say, hey, we talked online. It's so exciting to have you guys here today. So we went over what the chat host people did. We went over how they engage. Let's talk about the goal of a chat host overall. Yeah? One goal. Every person gets seen. Every person gets loved. That's your target every week. Maybe you don't like it, but that's it. We can do the best online service. But if everybody doesn't get seen and loved, what was it for? Luke?
Amen. Every person seen and loved. Turn to the person next to you. Say, every person seen and loved. Every person seen and loved. If you're not next to someone else, say it to you. Every person seen and loved. All right, so what does, so you might be asking a question. All right, what role does that actually play in this equation? We just said that online church is more pastoral than it is technical. Is it technical at all? Yes, but I'm going to pose to you that it's second rate to pastoral ministry, and your technology should be supporting what is happening pastorally online. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of a word picture to work with for this. And this is what we at our church, we run all of our technical decisions through. Is this metaphor. Imagine your church on a Sunday morning, okay? Imagine the people sitting inside. Imagine worship happening. People encountering the Lord in person. People hearing the gospel, sometimes for the first time. People raising their hand and accepting Jesus and coming down for prayer to the altar. Now, like, take a second and picture that. And now picture that you've got a window outside of your sanctuary. And there is somebody that is not there, not inside yet, looking inside into your space. That is the role of technology when it comes to the online worship experience. Because that person is real. That person might be across the globe, that person might be across the town, that person might be three towns over, but they're standing at the window, quite literally looking into your service. And so what role does technology play? Well, we want people to see into the room well. We want there to be a clear window
between what is happening in the space and the person that's not yet in the space. So, you know, you kind of think of a window. My windows at my house are really dirty right now because I live in upstate New York and it snows
a lot.
And then as soon as spring happens, it just gets disgusting. Like, right now you walk into my living room in the middle of the spring and it's like, I can barely see through this window. Like, we need to wash it. I need to wash it. And then kind of contrast that with a really clear, pristine window that you're able to see in. Like, of course, that's, we want people to see into our services that way. We want them to see what the Lord is doing as if they're there. And so we want to give our online family a clean window into the room. And so there's a couple of practicals that I want to go through on this. And I want to make this applicable to every level of tech that you have. I'm going to say you do not need a $30,000-$60,000 budget to do what I'm going to say. You could have a whole team of volunteers, and that's awesome. But you could also have an iPhone in the back of the room and Facebook Live, and you can still implement these principles. And the first thing I want to say is audio first, always. If you're going to invest money anywhere in the online experience, start with audio. People will tolerate bad video much faster than they will tolerate bad audio. And a lot of times we get that backwards, as we say we have to buy the latest, greatest camera, and then we really don't invest a lot of attention into audio. That's actually reversed. In the world, like, people will tolerate bad video way over bad audio. And so the biggest principle that I want to put in front of us today is put a real human on stream audio. There's many ways to do this. From the most basic is you take an aux feed out of your soundboard in the back of the room. Now, what I'd recommend is what's called a post-fader aux feed. If you want to write that down, there's tons of resources online about this. But what that does is it puts all of the moves that your front-of-house person, the person that's controlling the sound in the room, are going to be mirrored online, so that you don't need the person that's running online sound to have to worry about writing vocal levels and kind of making dynamic changes. However, there should be someone with headphones on. Maybe it's next to the front of house person that is monitoring that feed, and at the very least going over and saying, hey, front of house guy, can you turn down the snare a little bit? It's really, really loud, or I can't hear the vocals. That is something that is, like, so important, to just have a person, a human person, on your stream audio at all times. Now, you can do the most basic of that is, you know, the aux feed. We use what's called a DAW mix at our church, so we use Logic Pro. And there's many different DAWs that I recommend. Logic Pro, we use it because it's relatively inexpensive. It doesn't require subscription. But there are things like Pro Tools, Ableton, and even Reaper, which Reaper is a very good, like, entry-level solution. It's $50. You pay $50 and you can get that on your computer. If you have a digital mixer at all of these things will most likely work for you. You just connect a USB cable and are able to create really a studio-level mix for your online. But again, what's the big thing with sound? One person, a person that is paying attention to the online stream. So whether you're going really techie with the DAW mix, or you're going with an aux feed, having someone with headphones at all times making that happen. So a post-fader aux mix can work, but a DAW mix gives a lot more control. The target, honestly, is intentionality. Okay, video. Video does matter. So if we're like walking through our priorities, like, pastoral ministry, number one, like, no matter what you do, online ministry is pastoral ministry, reach the one. Yeah. Second is audio. Third, actually, is video. And I want to encourage you, simple done well beats complex done poorly. Sometimes one great camera, if you have one great camera in the space, well-placed and well-lit, is going to beat a bunch of shaky, mismatched angles with the camera that we found in the closet backstage, you know?
We have this camera. This is our camera. We call it camera two.
Yeah.
But it's a camera on a tripod with a person at it.
Yeah. So I want to give you guys some actual examples, okay? So this is a great example of one of our services, a fixed speaking shot. This is
our pastor, Pastor Tom, it's tight enough that you can get the emotion of what's going on in the space, but it's wide enough that you have the width for them to be able to move around and talk and not stress your team out. This is a big thing for video for me, is show the people in the room. Remember, one of our goals is to bring people in to the online, to the real space if they're online. And so one of the things that we love to do, like if this was the room that we were shooting in, I'd put a guy right back there behind these three gentlemen there, getting some heads in the frame. When you're in worship, getting hands lifted. Like our goal with video is to actually draw people into the room and make them feel like they're actually a part of the experience. So if you have one camera that's well positioned, that feels like you're in the space, that's a huge win in terms of making people feel present.
Yeah, as far as what we're doing here, this camera is our crowd camera. It's a volunteer holding a handheld camera. You don't have to have that, but I think like if you're trying to do it extremely well, three cameras is what you're going for. First is that fixed guy. Second is this person, which is, that's a person with a roaming camera whose job is to be in the crowd, showing that you, making you feel like you're in the room.
Another side shot kind of situation.
Yeah, this comes from that third camera. That's another roamer camera, but this camera we call our stage up shot. So this camera is grabbing close up things on the stage. This is just for some more cinematic kind of thing.
Here's an amazing example I'm talking about, right? Like wide, you've got, it's the focus isn't even on the musicians as much. It's about what's happening in the room. Yeah. Let's capture what's happening in the room. Let's capture what God is doing in the space. So that's a great example of the wide shot. A leader shot kind of similar is as far as narrowing in. You want to, when someone's carrying a moment vocally, give online viewers enough time to connect with them. We want to pace our pacing with our video mix to a point where you can really stay with the leader and what's going on in the space. And then finally with the videos, use detail shots with purpose. Instrument shots work best as texture, but it's not a substitute for faces and participation. So this is one of our electric guitar players, and we will use these kind of to cut between major beats and major moments. I'll turn back over to Josh for the questions. So we talked about why online ministry, and that's because, like Christ, we're going after the one, and sometimes the one isn't in your space yet. Number two is the how, and we're talking about audio first, video second. And I want to encourage you, before I move on with this, whatever your setup is right now, aim to make it 10% better. We can live in this world of comparison where we look at what's happening on Instagram, we look at what's happening with the church down the street, and we can get discouraged that, man, I don't have the volunteers for that. I don't have the budget for that. We are called by God to make the greatest difference we can in our community. So my setup, my video setup, does not need to be your video setup, does not need to be the video setup of the person next to you. Our goal as people that are going to be facilitating church online is like, make the absolute most of the gear that you have in the context that you are in. So if you're running it through the question, is this connecting with the one person online? Are we doing pastoral ministry online? Are we creating a clear window? Whether you're doing that with a four camera setup or an iPhone, aim to do it 10% better next week than we're doing it this week. I'll turn it back to Josh. We're going to talk about how we track it and how we know if we're truly making the difference we're talking about.
Yeah, okay, so we did say we were going to talk about metrics, so we'll talk about metrics. Here's what you want to do. Pick a number, track it every week, same day of the week, every time, whether that's Facebook views, whether that's YouTube views. Pick one, look at it every week. We look at total number of viewers aggregated across all streams. We check it every Friday because that gives people time to catch up during the week if they're watching, not during service time. So pick a number, measure it every week. But I want to encourage, do not look at that metric and go, this is it, I'm doing well because my numbers are high, or I am failing so hard, my numbers are so low, because the more important metrics are your ministry metrics. Viewership does not matter. Throw it away, honestly. Like, the biggest number you want to track, hands raised online. make sure you're making a moment for hands raised online, whether that's a chat host saying, hey, we talked about Jesus today, let me reach out and give you this salvation moment, right? Give people a chance to have hands raised. Another thing to track, one-on-one prayer and next steps. So online ministry is ministry. Online ministry isn't a TV show. And so it doesn't make sense to track it with, right, TV show metrics, stream metrics. It don't make sense. Let's track our ministry metrics. That's the important thing.
So the other thing is that the numbers tell you something, but the stories tell you why. So I want to encourage you, like, track and write down, even in a journal, like, the stories that come out of your online experience. Whether you're first starting out with this, and or even you haven't started yet, and you're wondering how to get started, or you're 6 years deep into this, 10 years deep into this, keep a journal, and of stories, of testimonies that God has done. I'm gonna share three with you guys today because I really hope they encourage you. So, the first one was, there was a man. So this was right when we started doing church online. There's a man that was watching the online experience and seeing what God is doing in the space. Because we really place this importance on making people feel like they're a part of it, he drove across town. So he was like watching it online, and then he like commented, I'll be right there. And so like he literally drove across town and he made it to worship before the last song ended. And then he got to be a part of community and a part of the message in person. Like, that's the fruit. That's like, man, the online ministry is really casting this wide net. And that person saw what the Lord was doing in the space and was like, I want that. That's the why. The second story, this one was crazy. So we had, we were doing church online, pretty much only church online during COVID because everything was shut down. And somehow, I don't even know how the algorithm did this, but there's this woman from China that was like watching our stream over and over and over and over again. And we have this program called Learning to Follow Jesus, which is a one-on-one discipleship coaching program, really like a mentorship type of thing. And she said, I want to do that, but I don't really know the language. This was in Chinese. I can't speak Chinese. And so we were able to match her with somebody in our church who has a little bit, enough Chinese to get by.
Wow.
And so she did Zoom sessions with that young woman coaching every single week. Like, that's the stuff to pay attention to. Like, the number, we can talk numbers all day, and yeah, it's so easy to inflate them and all that stuff, but like, that's the fruit. And the final story I want to really encourage you with is, back to the numbers, they tell you something, but the stories really tell you why, is, we had 1 week and attendance was really down online. I'll be honest with you, there was like 3 to 5 people in the space. And we had a chat host, because again, we talked through a chat host that was getting really discouraged with that number. Like, she could see the number, she could see that it was really low. And throughout the service, she was really discouraged about it. And then she, someone raised their hand and accepted Jesus. Mm. One person raised their hand, accepted Jesus in the chat, then said, can I get prayer, and took a next step out of that one service. Mm-hmm. And that chat host was beaming afterwards and was like, this is why we do this. This is it. This is the ministry of it.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage you guys with like, wherever you're at, that is why. Like, you are called. You're called to be more than a technician. You're called to pastor the online space and to use technology to pastor the online space. I want to leave some space for questions because this is a very broad topic and we all come from quite a lot of different experiences. So I got some questions to kind of get us going. Where are you struggling most in online ministry? Like, and I want to open up to the floor. Anyone can answer. Like, where would you say your biggest struggle is online ministry? Go ahead.
It's definitely the audio.
Definitely
the audio. 100% the audio. And we actually had someone tell us, if you can't do the audio well, you shouldn't stream your worship. You should only stream your sermon.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's going to conflict with what you're saying about making a space for people to feel like they're part of everything. Well, if they're not in the worship, they're not going to feel like they're part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's just a we're at a spot then, you know?
Yeah. I feel like there's this piece of that where it's like, know your context well, because there is, so even if you're, so you're saying like, okay, hey, we're not streaming worship well right now, but we are streaming the message well. So what I'd say to encourage you is start there and build slowly. So maybe it's like, maybe you have for the online space here just like a random idea, like you could record a few songs of worship that you could play before the message to start getting the streaming going on the worship side of things. What I encourage you is like, like doing audio well is the first thing, but start small. Like,
I mean, I can even barely stand to watch our own audio. That's the truth of it. The worship, and I lead worship, so I'm a part of this whole thing. But I watch it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it sounds so bad. Please tell me it doesn't sound like that when we're leading. But
yeah,
it's a real struggle. The online audio is a real struggle. So
yeah, go ahead, Peter.
Could you talk a little bit about from the altar side of things, how to sort of project that energy into the streaming side of things? Because sometimes when we're, if we're on the altar and we're singing and we're praising, we can still be still, and you know, the energy across the room is, you know, it's amazing, but it doesn't project well in the streaming side of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. So, do you want to take it? Do you want me to take it?
So, I would say, first thing, get two like shotgun mics on the front of your stage pointed into the congregation, so that everybody online can hear the room, so they can feel what's happening in the room. That's huge. That is gonna make people feel so connected to what's actually happening in the space, because they can hear the people that we want them to see as their family taking part in that. And then I think probably the other part of that, like driving that through, is having your chat hosts engaged, having your chat hosts saying, throw up worship hand emojis, this is going, like, this is what we're doing. If it's like a super prayerful moment, that's the perfect time for a chat host to jump in and say, hey, is there anything I can pray for you for? And it makes me think of like, we did a prayer series where people were coming up and writing things on this big board at the front of our worship center, prayer requests, and our chat hosts were taking prayer requests and then going in and writing those prayer requests down for the people. So it helps them feel like, what's happening in the space, I'm also a part of it.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, so I think another struggle we have is like kind of conversations between, I do the slide side of things, and so like how are we utilizing lower thirds, and like our lower thirds is not set up. I can set it up, but it's like all that setup and like what should it look like? Who should, like when we have verses, like do you throw it up the whole screen? And our pastor is like a very stop and go kind of, like he'll be reading and then suddenly he stops and it's like, okay, like so those transition moments and like how do you guys manage lower thirds and like what decisions are made? That, because I feel like that affects your online.
Yeah, that's a great question. So actually the biggest thing I'll say is one of the things that I've been coaching our pastors with a little bit is running our slides through a little bit of a question of, if you expect someone to write this down, it can go on the screen. If you don't think someone's going to have time to write it down, or then don't put it on the screen.
I make his slides.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I kind of determined, me and my other person, like, my pastor's like, do what you will. Like, he has very limited, so I guess like that's on the challenge too. Like, I don't know how long he's necessarily going to spend on a point. Like, sometimes he can spend a long time, and every service is different on that end. So
yeah,
it's the challenge.
Our actual rule that's communicated to volunteers who are running pro is sit on this slide. If he starts talking away from the slide, we have the seconds displayed on the computer clock. Count to 8. If he's still off the slide and talking about something else, bring it down. If he comes back to it within those 8 seconds, leave it up. And then when he finishes reading whatever's on it, 8 seconds, bring
it
down.
What do you bring it down to? Because I've said, I feel like sometimes it's distracting to switch slides in the middle of a point. Like, I would rather leave something up and let it, like, they used to switch back to title slide, and I hated it because I'm like, it's so annoying.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
For online, it's going to go to the feed, obviously. In person, our middle screen is always the title slide, and our side screens are the verses.
I think that's it, you guys. Thank you so much for being
awesome.
Here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this wonderful workshop.